sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her. I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Some big news today. Trump is holding a rare cabinet meeting at Camp David as Iran tensions rise over U.S. strikes that occurred yesterday. We responded back to these strikes as a defensive measure. And this is from the New York Post. The meeting location could change due to bad weather. All cabinet members, including outgoing DNI Tulsi Gabbard, are expected to join Trump at the presidential retreat in rural Maryland. So that is some breaking news. And I guess they're holding this meeting tomorrow as these peace talks with Iran continue and hopefully are going to end one way or the other. I just think the longer we drag this out, the worse it is. I've made that clear over the last couple weeks. I wanted to talk about, there's a few big stories today. We're going to talk about Cornyn. You know, we've got a lot to dig into here. It's an important day as far as watching all of these different primaries. And something, though, that caught my attention yesterday, and I do pay special attention to Maine because we got a lot of Maine listeners out there. And you all, my Mainers, have one of the crazier races happening because of Graham Plattner. This guy is just the gift that keeps on giving. I say that, but I won't be saying that if he becomes senator and he beats Susan Collins, which I don't think he will. But watching this thing play out is something else. And yesterday, he was in Orono, Maine, which I think is pretty close to Bangor. And he showed up with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was there. The grandpa commie showed up to give everybody a little piece of his mind, to tell everybody what he's thinking. And there's nothing like the millionaire. Yeah, we've got the millionaire with three homes who has a penchant for flying private. Because, Taylor, we know why.
Well, you think I'm going to stand in line in United? Like a slob? What, am I going to be standing waiting for my bags? I don't think so.
So he likes to fly private. He was there not only to throw his support behind the Nazi-tattooed Reddit troll, but also, oh, and I'm sorry, an oyster man. This guy is a Renaissance man. You know, they say that, they say we don't have that anymore. He's a jack of all trades. He's a shuck of all trades, okay? He's an oyster man. He's a Reddit troll. He's, I'm thinking we're going to get to a point where we find out he's an artist. I think this is headed towards Hunterville, where we're going to find out that some of this stuff that's been brewing is because Taylor, like all the greats, Van Gogh, you know, he's got a little crazy in him, but it's because he's an artist.
Well, I thought James Comey had the market cornered on seashell art.
Yeah, he's going to have to find a different, No. It's not. That is reserved for James Comey. He 100% has dibs on that. And for, I know some ladies who like to take oysters and refurbish them, Taylor, and make them pretty as a hobby. It's kind of become like the new beading.
I love refurbished oysters.
Nothing says summer like refurbished oysters. And I just want him to know, back off, okay? Back off. Our hobby is not your costume. So don't even think about it. But Graham Plattner is there with Bernie Sanders. And of course, Bernie's there to lecture us about his favorite thing. And I actually saw a compilation today on social media of him from like the 1980s to today giving the same speech about the oligarchy. The oligarchy is not good. And there's nothing these young socialists like more than hearing from an old rich socialist about how terrible capitalism is. Because isn't that what, when you look at Bernie Sanders, when you look at his real estate portfolio, when you look at all the money that he's made through his, air quotes now, books, your first thought should be, wow, this economic system we have in the United States really sucks. Because look at this guy. He's still working at 95 years old. I actually don't know.
You want to do nonsense?
I think he's in his 80s. He's still working because he just hasn't made enough money because of this broken system we have. What's that? He has three houses? That's two more houses than I have. And I'm not even a socialist. Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. Maybe I have to. Do you have to become a socialist to get that second home? Or maybe it's like socialist second home and then you go full communist and that's when you get the third home. So Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont was there. And I want to play you a little bit of this. This is cut three, please, Taylor.
And what I can tell you without any hesitation is the American people will not accept Trump's authoritarianism. Mm-mm. We will not accept oligarchy.
No.
We will not accept kleptocracy and corruption.
Nope.
We will not accept the continued attacks against the working class of this country.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
We will not accept Visa or MasterCard.
American
Express
you again.
Only.
I come to you again asking for your financial assistance. Here's what we will accept. Blank checks. Yeah, Bernie Sanders, it's weird because he's out there talking about authoritarianism. And I just want to say, and he specifically mentioned Trump, so I think this fits. If you're fighting back against an authoritarian, a dictator, you know, a tin pot dictator, for 10 years plus, dare I say that authoritarian is not doing a good job? Like, he's not being the authoritarian that you're making him out to be, Taylor. If you're sitting here going, he's a madman, he's taking over the world, he's going to imprison all of his critics, he's going to put us in jail, he's going to take away our private planes and our three homes, I mean, he's going to take away our working opportunities, and it's been over 10 years and he still hasn't done it, TikTok on the clock because the party don't stop, bro. Somebody call up Trump at Camp David and be like, hey, Mr. Dictator, you're kind of letting them down. They've been waiting on you to be the boogeyman for over 10 years, and you have not come through. The only thing that's happened in that 10 years for Bernie Sanders is he's made more money, and he's talked about Trump being an authoritarian hundreds and hundreds of times.
Don't and so, stop, make it pop, DJ, blow
my fingers up. Yeah, so I have to offer up, and I know Trump's got a lot going on right now, and far be it for me to be even more critical of him, but get it together, bro. Get it together. These people have been describing you as Stalin for the last 10 years. Actually, I saw Jon Stewart recently saying, like, Hitler, he gets compared to Hitler a lot, but Hitler was popular. So now they're saying he's worse than Hitler. He's Hitler without the charm. That's what they think of as Donald Trump. Where are you right now? Because these people are convinced that you are going to put everybody in jail and that you are going to crack down on their dissent, and you haven't done it. If anything, you've met with them and talked with them, and you've done interviews with the media that also think you're going to throw them in jail. And so that's just a note for Trump. I'm not trying to be, I've been overly critical the last couple of months. I know that, but this is just another one. Get on that, okay? They need you. They want you to be a dictator. They want you to be Rocket Man. And all you're doing is the opposite of that. So that's just one note. So that was Bernie Sanders. But the other part of this, Taylor, kind of brings me into what I was talking about yesterday. Plattner gets up. And I'm glad you pulled these because he doesn't seem to have a real handle on Bernie Sanders' name just yet. And hey, again, a lot going on, giving people a lot of grace today. Let's have cut one, please.
Und wir erinnern in unserem Zeichen wieder Siegen!
I'm so sorry. I just realized that's not the right rally. They look so similar to me when it came across my feed. So
Taylor, mistakes happen.
Yeah.
Honest mistakes.
You can see, right. Yeah. All right, here's Graham Plattner.
So the last time, well, before last night, I shared a stage with Senator Sanders. It was here in Portland, 13 days after we had launched this campaign.
Okay, so pause it there. So you hear that one, and you go, okay, that was just a mistake. You know, his tongue caught the roof of his mouth. You put a T in there. Who amongst us hasn't fallen for that trap? Senator Sanders. Sometimes I call Taylor Staler. It happens. But then it happened again. Cut two.
Now, I would like to end this speech the same way I did those many months ago when I first had the honor of joining Senator Sanders on stage.
Does he think his name is Sanders? That, to me, is the real question of all this. Do you think, what do you, someone should ask him that. Everyone's asking about the hookers and the blue water and the porta potty. Here's the question for the journalists out there. And you don't have to have a big windup. I know you guys love to deliver 4-minute speeches before you ask the question. Just ask this. The old guy from Vermont with the crazy hair who's flapping his arms around, what's his name? What's his name? Tell us specifically, what's his last name? And see if he gets it right. Now, that's all going on. And then Graham Plattner starts to lecture us on Jeff Bezos and paying your fair share. Can I get cut four?
No, I think it's abject nonsense. I think that's what somebody says when they don't want to see their taxes go up. There's absolutely no question that if we target the wealth where it has been hoarded, frankly, for decades at this point, and we pull it back into our system and put it into social programs like healthcare, like childcare, like paying teachers what they are worth, we will absolutely improve the lives of working Americans and, quite frankly, improve our society as a whole. I think what he is pitching is propaganda. It's meant to protect himself and protect his crony friends. We're going to come after them for it.
Yeah, I was going to go on a whole spiel about how I don't understand why we think this guy knows anything about tax systems or tax codes or money or anything like that. And I will go into that.
He knows a lot about hookers in Thailand.
I wrote a list, Taylor, things I would be lectured, things I would appreciate a lecture from Graham Plattner on, like things I could stomach if he wants to lecture me on porta potties, if he wants to lecture me on Thai hookers or Latin American hookers. Really, like,
best
hookers
places
really,
in Croatia to get a tattoo.
Really seems to be the hookers, though, really does seem to be one where it would be a longer PowerPoint than the other ones. Yeah, the tattoo situation, how to turn your tattoo, your Nazi tattoo, into a dog, things like that. The tax codes, Jeff Bezos, business, things like that. I'm not so sure why we are going to him or AOC or any of these people for advice. But something that actually stuck out to me about that clip is something you've been saying for a while, Taylor, which is the voice is bad. The voice is, dare I say, it's a little much.
What's much about it? You think he's faking it?
I do.
You think
fake,
he's faking fake, that voice?
Fake, 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 as Elaine would say. Fake. Yeah,
wow.
It's a little bit like my radio voice. My sister always does an impersonation of me when she says, hey, it's the Grace Curley Show. It's feeling a little bit put on.
Fake, 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 fake.
Do you agree? I thought your voice was fake for a while.
You thought my voice was fake?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. My voice is not fake.
No, but you definitely amp it up the same way I do.
Right.
But you amp up what you already have.
Microphone in front of your face, it's going to happen.
He sounds like the guy from Parks and Rec.
Oh, Sam Elliott? Eagleton Ron?
Yeah. Is that Nick Offerman? Is that his name?
Oh, Nick Offerman. Yeah, he's regular Ron. But Sam Elliott is Eagleton Ron. And he's got the... From the Big Lebowski, he's got that deep voice.
Oh, yeah. He's in A Star Is Born.
It's What's for Dinner.
Yes. I don't know. That should have been our poll question. Do you think Graham Plattner's voice is real? There's just no way. Like, imagine Taylor behind the scenes when he's, like, ordering a pizza or something. He just has a normal voice. Hey. And then when the cameras come, I just ordered a pepperoni pizza. I don't know. I'm very skeptical of this. Everyone weigh in. Weigh in with that. What do you think? Is it fake? Is it real? I don't have a lot of trust. We'll be back.
I've seen a lot of llamas.
I want to talk about the egos on these people who couldn't arrange a two-car funeral, but yet they think that their democratic socialism, their specific brand of socialism, which is just like every other brand of socialism, is going to reinvent the wheel and, you know, it's going to blow capitalism out of the water. And the experience, we're always told with like Spencer Pratt, he doesn't have any experience. The experience that Graham Platner has is with porta potties and oysters. And yet I'm supposed to trust him to recalibrate this economy. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
What's your big beef with the Nazis?
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I asked some of the listeners today on Instagram what they thought about this race between Platner and Susan Collins, and I got some good responses. Hold on, I'll read you a few of them after we do the poll question, but a lot of people don't think that it's going to be... They think it's going to be hard for Susan Collins, but they think she's going to pull it out, which I tend to agree with. Now, we are today also focusing on another race that's garnered a lot of attention, mostly because of a recent endorsement from the president, and that would be the Senate race in Texas. Right now, the primary between Ken Paxton and John Cornyn. Taylor, let's do the poll question here, and I do want you to do it in your Graham Platner voice, if you would. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com.
Take it away, Taylor.
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is which Senate candidate will come out on top in Texas's primary runoff election today? Senator John Cornyn or Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton?
I'm going Ken Paxton. And I think it might be, it's definitely going to be harder in the general. Like, it definitely is what Tallarico wants, is Paxton to win, just because he has more baggage than Cornyn. But I don't feel bad for Cornyn. All of these principled conservatives, as John Thune called him, have gotten away with doing nothing that the voters want. And yeah, I'm talking about the SAVE Act, delivering nothing to the Republican voters that get them into office. And then they still think they're going to sit there and they're going to coast and there's going to be no challenges. And I really don't think a lot of these guys ever thought they were going to see Trump back in office again. And they're just weasels. They're just very weak kneed. And as much as I think it's going to be harder with Ken Paxton than it would be with John Cornyn, I don't have much sympathy for John Cornyn here. He may be I'm sure he's a good guy, but we need fighters. We need people who, when they hear that 70, 80, 90% of Republicans support a piece of legislation, they try to get it passed. They do all they can. They don't just do it after a threat from Ken Paxton that, or after an incentive from Ken Paxton where he said, hey, if you fight for this, I'll drop out. Like, we just want to see you do something. That shouldn't have to be the push for a lot of these guys. They should want to do it. They should want to deliver for their voters and for their constituents. So I'm going to say Ken Paxton, and it looks like the polls would agree with me today.
87% say Ken Paxton will become victorious today.
Yes. Now, as far as the general goes, that's another story. But they're going to have to, no excuses here. You know, Trump backed him, and they're going to have to, again, this is what I'm all about, deliverables. 844-500-4242. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Graham Platner and really just this socialism that seems to be sweeping the Democrat Party. Don't forget to get your tickets to my big birthday bash this Friday. You only have a few more days to get on board. Go to gracecurlyshow.com and click on those VIP banners on the side of the website to get your tickets to my birthday on Friday.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. All right, so I played that cut for you of Graham Platner. He was with Bernie Sanders yesterday, and they're talking about all sorts of things. They're on MS Now. They're kind of the odd couple doing all of these interviews. And you know, I got to give Bernie Sanders credit because Elizabeth Warren has totally backed away from Platner. I don't know what it was, Taylor, that was her tipping point. I don't know if it was the blue liquid in the porta potty or the Thai hookers or the Latin American hookers or, you know, the comments about Purple Heart recipients. The list goes on and on and on. So who's to say which thing was where she finally said, I can no longer, voice my support for this man.
It's very strange for her to kind of not really like quiet denounce Graham Platner, but she was still full-throated for Zoran Mamdani, who did not denounce globalize the Intifada. I mean, it's just a different kind of Nazi. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And I think that's part of the problem here is that once Jay Jones was elected after his scandal with the text messages, it's kind of like, what are we doing? Like, let's be honest. You're supporting this guy. You want people to vote for him. You don't care about his past. You hold Republicans to a very high standard. And luckily, what we saw in a lot of these primaries is that we hold ourselves to a pretty high standard. We don't really have room in this party for anti-Semites. I hate to break it to the podcast bros. We don't want it. We don't want it. Get out of here. They don't have those same kind of standards. Their standards are absolutely bottom of the barrel. Anyone can get in. If you can win it, we don't care. And that's what we're seeing. And so he's going on. I want to play it one more time, Taylor, just to give people a little bit more a little bit more context. Take a listen to him on MS Now. This is cut 4.
No, oh, I think it's abject nonsense. I think that's what somebody says when they don't want to see their taxes go up. There's absolutely no question that if we target the wealth where it has been hoarded, frankly, for decades at this point, and we pull it back into our system and put it into social programs like healthcare, like childcare, like paying teachers what they are worth, we will absolutely improve the lives of working Americans and, quite frankly, improve our society as a whole. I think what he is pitching is propaganda. It's meant to protect himself and protect his crony friends. And we're going to come after them for it.
Propaganda, says the man with the Nazi tattoo on his chest that he is now covered up with some sort of Beowulf.
I'm here! Dragon dog.
But I'm always fascinated because it seems like, and you know, we talk about the double standards, Taylor, with old tweets or old tattoos or old masturbation Reddit threads or whatever he was talking about on there. And there seems to be a pass given to Democrats, but also on the experience factor. We hear this a lot with Spencer Pratt. You know, he's running for mayor of LA. He's surging in the polls. He's dominating with his campaign ads. And people want to try to figure out what the je ne sais quoi is. I do think he's really talented. I think he has great instincts. I also just think he's saying the normal common sense thing when he's surrounded by nutcases who want to give homeless meth addicts new teeth. And so if you're willing to say, I don't think that's a good idea, you might end up surging in the polls. I think there's two things going on here. But one of the biggest things he gets hit with is he doesn't have any experience. He doesn't have any experience. Didn't we learn this with the last guy who had no experience? Donald Trump? Yeah, I think we learned with the last guy that he can win all 7 swing states. I think that's what we learned about not having political experience. But when I look at Graham Platner and I look at AOC and I look at Zoran Mamdani, a lot of these spoiled brats, a lot of these Nepo babies, maybe not so much AOC, but a lot of these people who are lecturing us on their plans to kind of remake the economic system to benefit the lower classes or the lower income communities, I have to laugh because I'm like, now what experience, if we're going to use that as the big factor for Republicans, what experience are you clinging to that gives you the confidence to lecture a Jeff Bezos on taxes or money or business? And Taylor, I know I said this yesterday, you kind of laughed at me, but do you get what I'm saying? Where it's like the arrogance to go up to a Jeff Bezos or a Jamie Dimon or a Ken Griffin or a Mark Cuban and say, let me explain to you how the tax system should be working, and let me explain to you why you didn't earn $1 billion, and let me explain to you the importance of business, and let me explain to you what the workers are feeling, as if these guys have no background or no experience in this world, as if they're not the Michael Jordans of making money and paying taxes. I just think it's crazy. It's like Graham Platner, there's nothing wrong with being an oyster man, by the way. I know there's people who debate how much of that business, like, you know, whatever, we can get into that later, but there's nothing wrong with that. But to approach people who have employed, in some cases, millions of people and done payroll and created a product and watched where certain businesses thrived in, say, Florida, and then declined in, say, New York, and to look at those people and get up on your high horse when all you've done is work in the public sector and take people's money and set it on fire, or in some cases, not even that, to look at those people and say, hey, Jeff Bezos, here's why I think you need to redistribute your wealth. And here's why
Stop
I think
it. It's like, get some help.
Don't you feel kind of foolish? I would feel foolish. I wouldn't have the balls to go up to Ken Griffin and be like, sit down here for a second. I'm going to give you some tips on tax codes, okay? Well, let me explain to you how the economy works. He would look at me and be like, no, idiot, you're not. What do you do for a living? I'm on the radio. Okay, yeah, I'm good. Okay, yeah, I'm not taking your advice. And then what I would flip this to people is say, take the politics out of it for a second. You have $5,000, let's say, and you've got to take advice and do what one of these people says, Ken Griffin or Graham Platner, to make the most money for yourself or to put that $5,000 to the best use. Who are you going to? If you're being honest with yourself, are you going with this guy who has spent most of his time over the last decade on Reddit disparaging Purple Heart recipients? Or are you going to go with a guy who's running like a Fortune 500 company? It seems obvious to me. And the other part of this that I find so humorous is it's not like they're telling you, oh, I have a new idea for the funding of a bridge, you know, in the Bronx, or I want a solution to the fishing regulation in Maine. That all that stuff's too small for them. That's too boring. They are trying to shuck up the system. They think they have a better economic vision. They have a better system that's going to work than the current one that, by the way, has lifted more people out of poverty than any other system in the world in history. But they're so arrogant. They're so sure of themselves. The egos on these people who, like I said, they would have a hard time arranging a barbecue. They'd be putting the cheese on the raw burgers. Okay? The coolers, we have to get ice? You have to get the ice? We have to pay for it? Where do you get the ice? Where do people get ice? Ice is bad. I'm not buying ice. I don't want to be seen buying ice. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves. And yet they're going to outdo the economic system that has lifted more people out of poverty than any other one in the world. I mean, you have to be very full of yourself. And why do you think that is? Like, why is it that they think they can do it? And by the way, Taylor, all these ideas that they're throwing out there, high marginal taxes on the ultra wealthy, you know, minimum wage mandates, the collective warmth of socialism, universal health care, free education, everything Graham Platner's talking about next to Bernie Sanders, it's all been tried. And best case, you try it, because it's been tried 20, 30 countries. Best case throughout history, it's just failed. Worst case, famine. Collapse. Millions of people starve to death. Political repression. So why try it again?
Well, and it's being tried right now again. I mean, ahead of Graham Platner's election, should he ever win. But in New York City, like you said, with Zohra Mamdani, and people are fleeing en masse from NYC, like Ken Griffin. So what does he have to point to say that this is a good model?
But you know what it is, Taylor? It's kind of like the person who dates the scumbag and thinks they're going to change the scumbag. Like, it's different. Mm. I'm different. I'm the girl who's going to change him. That's how they feel. It's like, hey, I'm not just... Other socialists have tried this before, okay? But I'm different. I'm a special kind of socialist. I also shuck oysters. And I really like porta-potties. And I just...
Maybe he could shuck up the system.
I've just got a certain X factor that's going to shuck up the system. And no one's going to tell me different. Now, something that is noteworthy here is that Representative Jake Auchincloss, also Maine, he's come out, I'm sorry, did I say Maine? But he has come out against Platner. Can I have that sound cut from Jake Auchincloss, the representative from Massachusetts?
I find that tattoo and his commentary about it to be personally disqualifying. I hope Maine voters agree with me. I think that it would be a mistake for the Democratic Party to think that Graham Platner's brand of the Democratic Party is what wins us durable majorities throughout this country.
Yeah. I don't know why he's like the only one. I know he's Jewish, and so maybe the Nazi tattoo specifically was kind of the thing.
Auchincloss sauce.
But it's still very strange that he seems to be the only one who is taking a stance against this guy. This guy who has all these big ideas. And when we talk about these big ideas, you know, Taylor just mentioned it's being tried in New York City. It's being tried in a lot of these blue cities. And it's not just the taxes. I mean, that's certainly one of the ways we kind of drive out wealth from major cities like New York. But also, it's everything else. It's just kind of the societal decay that they allow to happen under the guise of we're compassionate. You know, we're not going to tell homeless people that they can't set up shop here. We're not going to put people in jail, even if they've committed crime after crime after crime. We're just going to let it fester. Let all this stuff happen, and we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to take a back seat to it and kind of hope that it fixes itself. And I just want to play for you how that's panning out in Seattle. Can I have cut 10, please?
We just saw a Honda Element drive around here, so we got to put a stump over there, I think.
You can't just illegally block the road because...
Another conflict divides North Seattle's Greenwood neighborhood.
It's either this or bullets in my neighbor's houses.
Not gunfire, but how far residents are going to stop it.
Our neighbors put these up in self-defense.
The risk of emergency services not being able to get through here is greater than the good that they think that they're doing from putting up this.
Makeshift barricades now block three streets off Aurora Avenue, and they're building frustration.
And I just don't think that this is the right fix.
It comes after residents like Kate and Peter say they've documented at least 8 shootings in about the past month within roughly 10 blocks of their homes.
We celebrate when there's not a shooting.
Until that evil is taken care of, we got to deal with this.
Seattle requires permits to block or place structures in public streets. Unauthorized obstructions can lead to fines or removal orders.
So it really sounds to me, Taylor, like they're building a wall. They're trying to build a wall around their community in Seattle. And that is, Seattle's also where this mayor said that, you know, if millionaires want to leave, bye-bye, like you can go. And she's since walked that back. She's also walked back her very controversial statements about Starbucks and her stances against that company. But my question when I saw this, and I know it's less important than surviving the nightly shootings, but for the people there who aren't millionaires or billionaires who want to get out, it can't be good for property values. Like you're trying to, let's say, Taylor, imagine you're holding an open house. You're like, I got to get out of this city. This place is terrible. This place is going down the tubes. The mayor's telling millionaires to hit the road. I got to get out. I got to get to Florida. I got to go somewhere that hasn't lost their minds. And then you're like, all right, we'll have an open house on Thursday. And then you've got the barricades up on the end of the street. And the people are coming in to see your house. They're like, what's going on with the big planters out there?
Art
what's
going on with those?
Yeah, you're like, so here's the thing. We are a very proactive community. We're trying to keep, try explaining that to someone while you're trying to sell your property. Oh, yeah, sorry. It's the nightly shootings that occur. We're trying to keep people out of the neighborhood so that we are not all afraid for our lives as we're trying to go to sleep. This is what's happening in blue cities, and they want to ignore it. They ignore it at their own peril because everyone is leaving. I mean, the only thing that's popular in these blue cities right now is U-Haul. And maybe a couple coffee shops, but those coffee shops aren't going to last long. How many, what, are they going to build a wall? Everyone's building walls now. It's very MAGA of these people in Seattle. I just want to point that out. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
More of the Grace Curley Show up next. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. You know, yesterday I saw this cut of Ashley Allison. She was on CNN. She's one of the panelists there. She's often fighting with Scott Jennings. And she was, I believe, a member of the Biden administration in some way, or she was a contributor in some way to the Biden administration. And she was asked about the Spencer Pratt surge that's happening, and she brought up the point that Democrats need to get better about social media. Like, they're just not good. They can't meme, Taylor. Isn't that the old thing? Like, Dems can't meme. And I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said, every time they try to do something on social media, it usually backfires, and it usually exposes how out of touch they are. This happened yesterday. The Democrats on Twitter, that's the Twitter handle, the Democrats, put up a picture of 13 service members and said Americans who have died. Actually, I think there's 10 of them here. Americans who have died in Trump's war with Iran. Today, we honor the American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice in Trump's war with Iran. This is how bad this post was. Tammy Duckworth, a Democrat, wrote, "It is incredibly distasteful to use our heroic dead for a political attack on Memorial Day. I'm a Democrat and I condemn this post by the DNC." That's Tammy Duckworth, the Democrat senator. And they have since deleted the post, by the way. But they can't do it. Anytime they try to have a dunk, they dunk on themselves. They expose how evil and gross they are. Ed, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, Grace. Thank you. I just want to put some perspective on Graham Plattner up here. That big, you know, show that he put on yesterday, that was in District 1. He doesn't dare to go to the district that he serves or wants to serve. He's down in Portland. He's not representing the people of District 2. This is all a joke. They don't dare to go to District 2 because he'd get booed right off the stage.
And why do you think that is, Ed? Like, why do you think specifically his own district or the district he's running for is rejecting him wholeheartedly?
Oh, they're just reaching out. They're grasping for anything. You know, you ask any fisherman, this guy's a joke. He's not from Maine. He's not an oyster fisherman. He's a joke. You know, and the mainstream media is doing the best to back him up.
Yeah.
And they put on this big show down in District 1 in Portland, which isn't even the district that he's supposed to be representing. I hope everyone takes that into account. Thank you for taking my call.
Ed, thank you for your contribution. I appreciate it. It's good to hear from a Mainer who knows what he's talking about. We don't get a lot of those here because most of the time we're hearing from Graham Plattner. All right, everyone, we'll be right back. We're going to talk trans athletes and so much more. Stay with us.